All right, let's have a Bible study. Open your Bibles up to the book of Joel, chapter 2. And I got a question for you. I'm going to jog your memory. Does anybody remember what was happening in the year 2014 and 2015? Well, it was the end of the world. The Antichrist was running around. Remember? Obama was president. And everybody swore it was going to be the end of the world. But there's something even more amazing than that. And we talked about it. It took 10 years for this to start coming to fruition. But in that span of time, it was the eighth time that there was a tetrad of blood moons that coincided with the Jewish feasts. Eight, the meaning of the number eight in the Bible is new beginnings. Can you just imagine all the changes we've been through since then to now? 10 years. 10 years. It's been in the making to get us to this point. And man, we can't even look in the mirror and say we're the same anymore. It's changed. Things are changing rapidly every day. I think this July 4th is going to be the best July 4th we've had for 250 years. And it's just going to keep getting better and better and better. But can you see what it looked like 10 years ago to now? And all the stuff that we've gone through to get to now. And all of this stuff and working that took 10 years. And now people are mad because egg prices didn't drop on day one. See how fickle people are? Patience. You know, the Bible tells us we need...
They don't know where their eggs come from. They don't know how that works.
Yeah, we need to... The Bible tells us we need to let patience have her perfect work. See, we got in this microwave world that we live in, and we get everything almost immediately. You know, we get emails and we get information and all this stuff fast. And our patience wears thin if we have to wait 3 days. See, but I got news for you. You're going to wait anyway. And you're going to be okay. You know, nobody, you know, none of us in here starved to death while Obama was the president. Nobody starved to death while they was trying to impeach Trump. We held our breath while he was in the election with Hillary. Thank God she didn't win. They would have got their way then. But see how God has a way of bringing us through these things? He brings us through these things. And there's none of us that are in the same shoes we were 10 years ago. Things get better. I want you to look at Joel chapter 2, verse 30. It says, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into... The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. See, when the moon is in eclipse, it's bad for Israel. If its face is as red as blood, it is a sign that the sword is coming to the world. Now, four blood moons on Jewish feast days within 2 years in Israel are very rare. Seven times since Jesus. That's how many times it's happened. Now, a big event that affects Israel happens when this pattern happens. The event that affects Israel starts just before the actual years. You know, the minute Trump got elected the first time, what happened? He said, we recognize Jerusalem as being the capital of Israel. That was huge. But there's a whole bunch of other big things that have happened now. And our whole world is changing. You can see every part of this whole world is being changed right before our eyes. Actually, I don't know if you caught on to this, when the B-52s went over to Iran, that was almost like the Daniel 8 prophecy. Because that says they went all the way over and destroyed Persia, and their feet didn't touch the ground. Now, some people say that's already been fulfilled, but I don't know how it could have happened without their feet touching ground. And here we are today. We just destroyed that kingdom. I don't know how the Gog Magog thing is going to work out. But Russia was supposed to be somebody that was going to wipe out Israel too. And they haven't done it. And I don't think they're going to. But you need NASA, they're star watchers. They confirmed that we have had blood red moons on the first day of Passover and the first day of Sukkot on back-to-back years seven times since 1 AD. You know, one time that happened, we had the Spanish Inquisition. And Columbus found America. Also, another time that happened, we had statehood for Israel and the War of Independence. In 1967, they had the Six-Day War. So seven times, blood red moons have fallen on the first day of Passover in Sukkot. Now this eighth time, that happened in 2014 and 2015, brought us to this time of new beginnings. Look at Mark chapter 15, verse 42. Mark chapter 15, verse 42. Now when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. Calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead any while yet. And when he knew of it, the centurion gave the body to Joseph. That was Friday afternoon when he went in there. You know, one thing that's terrible about our timekeeping is not the same. We've changed calendars and we're not on the same calendar that they were before. They changed it. And it's really messed with mankind, because the way God set up that first calendar, we were in tune with all the seasons. And now we're out of whack with all those seasons. But God's going to have His way, and He is going to reestablish the way He wanted things done on this earth. I don't know exactly how everything's going to work out, but it's going to work out. Stay under the blood and keep believing on the name of the Lord Jesus. See, the first day of the week is Sunday according to the New Testament, since Saturday is the seventh. Jesus rose on the first day of the new week. There's people get crazy about this. Absolutely crazy. You're supposed to celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday. You know, and I tell them, Jesus is my Sabbath. I'll go ahead and rest on Sunday. Now, there's some people, they will not. They won't even let you work on their place on Saturday. And then they think that you're crazy because you don't celebrate the Sabbath the way they do. Jesus said, don't let anybody judge you according to a day. So what we do is we just stay wrapped up in Him. He's going to sort out all this in the end. We don't have to figure it out. Now, we don't have to sort it out. He's going to get it all lined out for us. We just need to cling to Him. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, being in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. See, Noah was the eighth person. There was eight souls. There's that number eight again. There were eight people got on that ark. There were eight righteous souls. But have you ever wondered why there was only eight righteous souls that got on that boat? Everybody else had contaminated blood. See, God said, before that ark was made, there was Nephilim running around here. And the daughters of men had crossed with these angels and contaminated the blood of human beings. See, when God was in the garden telling Satan what was going to happen to him, he said that there's coming one that is going to bruise your head. The seed of a woman. He just completely blew the devil out of the water. Because women don't have seeds. But Satan, from that time forward, went about trying to kill everybody that could possibly even look like Adam. If they had any semblance of that anointing, he tried to kill them. That's why he was killing all these prophets. But then he got to the point right there at that ark, he had contaminated the blood. So God had to preserve mankind. And he got eight of them on that boat and preserved mankind and wiped out this world with the flood. And he gave us the ark, gave us a rainbow, an arch, not a pride flag, but it's a never-ending covenant that he will not destroy this world with the flood. He'll not destroy it with the flood again. That's good news. We're not going to get washed away. Now, Genesis chapter 17, verse 12. We'll look at that real quick. Every time God has done something big, it is to preserve man. Even though it looked like he was trying to destroy mankind with that flood, he was trying to preserve man. Genesis chapter 17. He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man, child, and his generations. He that is born in the house or brought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. There's that number eight again. This was foreshadowing of the circumcision of the heart that it talks about in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. See, in the Old Testament, you had to get that circumcision. If you was part of the covenant, you had to get that circumcision. If you didn't get that circumcision, you were not part of that covenant. And he was subject to death. But the circumcision that we're after is the circumcision of the heart. The heart. See, a man must be born again. If a man is not born again, he doesn't have that circumcision of the heart. And he's not part of the covenant. I kind of wonder sometimes how many people are going to make it. You know, if they don't hurry up and get born again, the clock is ticking. And it seems like time has picked up. It just seems like time just flies by. The weeks just fly by now for whatever reason. I don't know. I remember when I was a kid, it seemed like a whole day took forever. Yeah. And then now, I wake up on Monday and I'm paying everybody already on Friday, and it's almost like, what happened? It's just gone. And we got this urgency in the spirit that we need to get as many people born again before that time runs out. You know, everybody laughed. Everybody laughed at Noah until it started to rain. They mocked him. And it took a long time to build that ark. They mocked him. You know, there's a lot of mockers out there. There's a lot of people saying, you know, you guys have been talking about Jesus coming back for 50 years. Well, he's coming back. We're just a day closer. He is coming back. And now, when I first started getting into the Bible and getting into the Word and really getting serious about this, I ran into people that said, you need to stay away from numerology. So I did. I just, not going to look at it. And then they said, you need to stop looking at signs and wonders. So I did. Then he looked at it. And then, all of a sudden, I started finding out that God owned the numbers before Satan did. And God put signs and wonders in the sky. And see, we're not supposed to be counting on that. That's not, we're supposed to be led by the Spirit. But the Bible says that the Jews require a sign. See, they're not led by the Spirit. They're not born again. They can't be led by the Holy Spirit. They're not born again. But they go by signs and wonders. So when God starts putting signs and wonders in the sky that he talks about in the Bible, and he keeps repeating the same numbers, maybe we should pay attention to those numbers and those signs and wonders. See, there's a lot of Christians. They just think it's another crazy day. there's a lot of Christians that are mad at Trump right now. Because they don't spend the time to figure out what's really going on. See, this is above and beyond. This is above and beyond Trump. This is much bigger than Trump. And I don't know if any of you have noticed in these new maps, they got some new maps. And somebody said, look at that map and tell me what you see. And it's just cities there. And somebody finally pointed out, said, well, Washington, it's just Washington. It doesn't say D.C. That's a big blow to Satan right there. He's losing his grip on this whole world. And we get to watch it. See, Jesus rose on the eighth day. The thing about astronomy studies the stars, planets, comets, and all that, right? Astrology is witchcraft. That's where they get into worshiping of this stuff. See, astronomy is not the same as astrology. Astronomy is a good thing. You can look and see what's going on. You can see some of these signs and wonders. You know, if your heart didn't pound a little bit when them moons turned red, you're not paying attention. That was pretty exciting to me. I was thinking, man, you know, we're right there. You know, I think any day now. I was kind of reaching for it. I didn't realize that we had 10 more years, you know, and I still don't know how much more time we got. But God's going to bring us through that. You know, God brought us through all of the Obama years, got us through all of the Clinton years, got us through all of the Bush years. We're going to a new place. And God is the director, not Trump. That's what people in the church really needs to understand this. This is not Trump's doing. This is much bigger than Trump. God's going to bring us to a whole new place. I don't know how we're going to get there, but it's going to be good. See, like we talked about, the Jews require a sign. We can be led by the Spirit. See, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 says, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. See, the Bible tells us about this gathering of the saints. You know, we get caught up together with them in the clouds. And, you know, the dead in Christ arise first. That's going to be an interesting event. I imagine there's going to be some people start believing something when they see Grandma come up out of the grave, walk down the street. Somebody's going to start believing something. That's not the first time that's happened either. That happened at the crucifixion too. There was dead in Christ. They weren't in Christ yet, but there was dead that came back to life, walked around. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing," ye should underline this, "nothing shall by any means hurt you." See, God has given us power over the enemy. He's given us authority over the enemy. There's too many people running around thinking that the devil is too much for them. They're running around thinking that the devil is just getting away with whatever he wants. He is not getting away with whatever he wants. In fact, he's losing ground every day now. And he's losing it in high speed. Now, I just seen the Crown Prince of Iran say that Ayatollah and his regime were fleeing Iran, going to Russia. That's losing ground in high speed. That's one of their strongholds. This whole world is getting cleansed. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." See, in America, we have kind of had such a soft Christian walk. I mean, really, we have not been mashed on hard. You know, there's countries where if you're a Christian and they find out about it, they just kill you. You know, if they catch you with the Bible, you're dead. Or you're tortured. You go to prison for 10, 15 years. It's a horrible thing if you get caught. But this world right now that we're in is changing. And God is going to get people to stand up all over the world for Christ. They're going to stand up. And they're going to take this world for Him. Once and for all, I hope. I hope we never, ever have to go through this again. You know, Psalm 91 should be our battle cry every day. You know, we should say this every once in a while. You know, we should get up and say, "Because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I abide under the shadow of the Almighty." You know, we've had it so easy in this America that it seems like Christians seldomly look out for danger. You know, it's so easy to be a Christian here, to the point where if somebody says a bad thing to you, your feelings get hurt. But at some point, we may have to stand. And we have been standing to a point, but at some point, we may have to really stand up and resist the devil. And one of the things that we're definitely going to have to do, every single one of us, and it's going to be hard, is we're going to have to break the strongholds in our minds on the religion that we've been taught. We've all been taught some false religion. But we're going to know the truth. Jesus said, "You'll know the truth, and truth will make you free." And every day we're getting a little more truth. We're learning just a little bit more. We get a little bit more revelation. But we surely don't have it figured out. I don't have it figured out. Do you have it figured out? Nobody has it figured out yet. But we're going to get there. But see, we didn't have any idea. We didn't have any idea when Barack Obama was president that Trump was going to be a president twice, did we? We certainly didn't have any idea of the wild things that Trump is doing right now. You know, there's a whole bunch of things that we're going to learn really fast. So just buckle down, stay tight with Jesus, and trust God, because he's going to bring you through this. But we're going to have some really huge, mind-blowing revelation coming our way. So just get ready for it. Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us. Father, we thank you for this moment in time that we're in right now, that we get to witness what we're seeing. You know, Father, we certainly don't know how we get through to where we need to be, but we trust in you, and we believe that it's going to be great wherever you take us. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.